Father, we thank you this morning for who you are, immortal, invisible, God only wise. So many other things, our Father, the Creator, the Savior, the Redeemer. How we praise you and thank you that you are our Lord and Master. May we walk in fellowship with you, and may we do your will in all that we undertake. We do ask your blessings upon our service today, that it might be to your praise, honor, and glory. We pray for those who cannot be with us today. We ask you to be with those who are ill, strengthen and help them, restore them to health. And any others who may have other problems, we pray that you will undertake for them as well. We thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy day by day and for your constant presence with us. We ask you to guide and help us today in all that we do, that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth and honor your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may. Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass after about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And when she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me." And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice with and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So, Lord bless his word. We'll look at that portion in a few minutes. Chapter 39 of Genesis. But first of all, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and love to us. We thank you for the salvation we have in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we certainly do want to see him today. We thank you, Lord, for the life of Joseph as we see him showing many of the qualities and characteristics that we desire in our own lives, many times being like a type of the Lord Jesus himself. And we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to understand your word and to hide it in our hearts, that we might be able to share it with others and be good witnesses in this world in which we live today. We do pray, our Father, for those who are ill today. We ask you to give them strength and help them to recover from their sickness. We pray for others who may be doing various things. We ask you to watch over them, keep them in your care, and bring them back to us as soon as possible. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless our church and help us, that we might be able to keep going. Help us to reach out to our others, that we might be able to add to the church, see a greater response. Lord, may your holy will be accomplished through it all. We just ask you to be with our missionaries today. We thank you for each one of them and the work that they're doing in various fields. We thank you for Genesis and the work that they do at helping the ladies with their children, teaching them about life. We pray that you'll undertake for them. And guide and help us all that we might be faithful to you in all that we undertake. May your holy will be accomplished through it all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at Joseph, the faithful servant. Judah, you remember, was the brother who suggested that they sell Joseph rather than kill him. Genesis 38 tells us more about Judah and how he lived his life. Instead of living a separated life like his forefathers, he compromised and adopted the ways of the Canaanites, who were ungodly people. Like Lot, when he went to live in Sodom, Judah here marries a Canaanite woman and had three sons with her. Two of them were so evil that God killed them. Judah promised his daughter-in-law, Tamar, that when his youngest son, Shelah, became old enough, he would have him marry her and produce a son to carry on his brother's name, according to the custom of the day. This later became part of the commandments that God gave to Israel. Judah did not keep his word, and so Tamar tricked him into thinking she was a harlot. She put on a long veil and sat down beside the road where he would be going to take care of his sheep. They were shearing the sheep. And she pretended to be a harlot. And he went in to her and ended up, she became pregnant and had twin sons with Judah, her father-in-law. It's a story you might expect to see on TV, right? Days of Our Lives or something of that nature. You know, some of these soap operas that they have. But the amazing thing to realize is how God is able to change even sinful things into that which brings glory to Him. When you look at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, you find that Judah and Tamar are in the line that leads up to Christ. It's amazing what God can do. And anyway, in contrast to Judah, we find that Joseph, under very adverse circumstances, remained true to God and refused to fall into sin. Joseph, here we find in chapter 39, Joseph the slave. They brought him down to Egypt, the Ishmaelites, and they sold him to this man named Potiphar. Potiphar, his name means devoted to the sun. And of course, the Egyptians had so many different gods that they worshipped, and Joseph finds himself here in a strange land with all different kinds of philosophies and religions. And his master is one that's devoted to the sun. Potiphar is also called an officer of Pharaoh. He was in a high position near the king of the country. High position in the government. A captain of the guard. We believe that means either chief of police or head of the military. Maybe head of security for Pharaoh. But he had a very important position. And he bought Joseph as his slave. And we find there's an important phrase in verse 2. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the Lord was with Joseph." This is repeated a number of times regarding this man, this young man. He was 17 years old at the time. He spent about 11 years in the household of Potiphar. And anyway, we find here, Potiphar was very perceptive enough to see that God was blessing Joseph and all that he did. So he put him in charge of his household. Now you remember Joseph did not go out with his brothers and so forth, keeping the sheep, remember? He stayed at home with Jacob, and apparently must have done the business end of the family. And now he is prepared to take over this household and keep things moving in the right direction. He has a great knowledge that God has given to him. It says the Lord's with him. And he makes everything he does to prosper. And so he puts him here. And so this brought great prosperity to Potiphar. And no doubt it made life much more pleasant for Joseph. You know, it's no fun to be a slave, for sure. But at least he was well liked by his master, and put into a prominent position. So at least he had some relief in that regard. And his master trusted him to handle all of his business, and God blessed everything he did. So life was good, in a sense, even as a slave. Verse 6 mentions about Joseph, what he looked like. It says Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That means he was handsome and well built. He was a nice looking young man. And physically fit, busy, no doubt, doing the chores and everything that needed to be done in keeping everything moving in the right direction. He probably took after his mother, Rachel. You remember this was one of the things that Jacob noticed first of all about Rachel. Her sister Leah, it said, had weak eyes or something of that nature. But Rachel was beautiful. Beautiful. And well favored. So maybe Joseph took after his mother. Good looking young man. And for this reason we see Potiphar's wife comes on the scene. And she notices him too. No doubt her husband was a very busy man and probably often away from home. Perhaps she was lonely. She couldn't help but notice this attractive man who was so efficient in doing his work, quietly doing what he was supposed to do. It's estimated that, as I said, Joseph spent 11 years in Potiphar's home. We don't know when she first started her seduction. It could have been at the very beginning, or it might have been some years later. But at any rate, she cast her eyes upon him, it says, and began to tempt him. She says, "Come, lie with me," you know. And Joseph refused. He refused to yield to the temptation. And you might say, well, was it a temptation? What do you think? Probably a very attractive woman. And inviting him to come with her, to be with her, to have pleasure together, and all of these things. And no doubt it was a temptation. And yet, Joseph refused because he had higher convictions. He knew that it would be wrong for him to do that. And he chose to do the right thing rather than the most convenient. Probably no one would have even known if they had done this secretly. And you remember the story of David and Bathsheba. He saw this woman. He took her. What happened? It turned out to be very bad for him. Joseph missed all of that by staying true to his own convictions, his own conscience, and his belief in the true and the living God. He refused to yield. He would not betray his master, the confidence that he had placed in him. Joseph had a testimony to maintain. Did you notice it said that Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with him? See? And other people noticed it as well. So he had a testimony to uphold. Are you going to be a godly person, or are you going to yield to the temptation of the world and do what everyone else is doing? You see? That's the question. He decided to maintain his testimony. And he first says, verse 9 says it very clearly. This is a wonderful verse to think about. Joseph says, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me except thee, because thou art his wife." And here's what he said. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph knew that this would be a great wickedness and a sin against God. He thought about it as what it really is. He did not excuse it. You know, today they say, well, he's a consenting adult. You know, a man and a woman, if they choose to have an affair, that's their business, right? Joseph says, it's great wickedness and a sin against God. There's the difference, you see, the way the world sees something and the way God sees it. And Joseph chose to take God's way instead of the world. He knew that it would be morally and spiritually wrong, and he valued his relationship with God more highly than a brief time of carnal pleasure. It said that about Moses in one place. You remember that he esteemed the reproach of Christ of greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, the pleasures that held. She continued to seek to persuade him. You notice every day, it says, verse 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. Can you imagine? Every day they were there, and every day she comes along seeking to seduce him. It's sort of like, you remember the story of Samson and Delilah? And Samson kind of played along with her. She says, "Where does your great strength lie?" And he told her first one thing and then another, joking around with her, until finally she wore him down. He says, "It's in my hair. If I have my hair cut, I won't have any strength again." So she had his head shorn, and what happened? That's the end of Samson, right? They put out his eyes. He did manage to pull down the building and destroy many of his enemies. But what a terrible way to end. Whereas Joseph remained true to his convictions. Like Daniel. You remember the story of Daniel? How he and his three friends remained true to their upbringing, to their faith in God, and refused to eat the king's meat that had been offered to idols, refused to follow through with the pagan ways that the Babylonians wanted them to follow, remained faithful until the end. This is Joseph as well. It's wonderful to see how he remained true to his convictions, as she would come and day by day seek to cause him to fall. She thought, maybe, I guess, you know, oh, sooner or later he's going to give in, you know. I'm such a beautiful woman. You can't resist too long, right? But he did. He continued to resist. And until one day, it says that all the other men were someplace else. We don't know whether she actually sent them someplace else, probably, or if they just happened to be outside the house. She takes Joseph and grabs him by his garment and says, "Come and lie with me." She was going to force him, you know. And so what does he do? He leaves the garment in her hand and runs away. Smartest thing he could do. Paul later advised Timothy this way as well. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You see? Flee. You know, there's a certain time when we have to, the greatest offense is to just run away, right? Go, get away. I heard someone speaking this week about a man and this woman had an affair at work or whatever. They worked together. And he had broken it up. He and his wife were back together, reconciled, and everything was going well. But he's still working at the same place with this woman day by day. And so the counselor told him, he says, "You need to get another job." You know? because you're constantly bombarded with temptation, sooner or later, it'll get you. And here we find Joseph chose to run away rather than to face this terrible temptation that was there. So then what does Potiphar's wife do? She turns it around. She has his garment in her hand. And she makes up this story. Sounds the alarm. Falsely accuses Joseph of trying to rape her. She blames her husband for bringing this Hebrew into their home. Notice, everybody's at fault except her, right? You remember when the serpent tempted Eve to, and then they all, nobody was at fault, right? Eve said, the serpent tempted me and I ate. It's his fault. Adam says, the woman that you gave to me, she's the one who led me to this, you see. But here, she should have faced up to her own sin. But she didn't have that. She didn't have that conviction that Joseph had, you see. She didn't have the Lord with her like he did. And that's the difference, isn't it? That's the difference in the way they reacted to this situation. And here she blames everybody. She blames her husband. She resents the fact that he brought in this Hebrew slave. She even doesn't even use his name. Now he's a slave. He's beneath her dignity. So when Potiphar returns, she tells him the story, and it says that his wrath was kindled. The question is, who was he angry with? You think it was Joseph, or was it his wife? They tell us that Egyptian women were especially immoral. They frequently had these kind of affairs and things of that nature. And no doubt, Potiphar knew his wife. If this was the kind of person she was, tempting Joseph, she'd more than likely had done it before. So probably he was upset with her more than with Joseph, but he had to save face by putting him into prison. And of course, this was part of God's plan anyway. His time in Potiphar's house is now over, and Joseph is put into the prison where the king's prisoners were kept. And it says in verse 21, notice 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Okay, see, he's being put into prison. But it says the Lord is still with him. Isn't it wonderful to know that wherever you are, God's there? He's with you no matter what the circumstances may be, no matter how bad things might get around you, the Lord is there. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we find here that Joseph is now the prisoner. He's put into prison. 28 years old, probably. That's what they figure up. And he's now condemned to spend the rest of his life, no doubt, in prison. This is the way he will be living from now on. It's a terrible fate. But once again, we find the Lord is with Joseph. And he's going to help him through all of this. It says he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Do you think Joseph was a nice person? What do you think? If everybody likes him, right? In spite of the fact that he's a slave, sold, and here he's a prisoner. Prisoners are usually looked down upon. You know, you're guilty of something, right? and yet the keeper favored him. And God put this in his heart to allow him to be in charge of what went on in the prison. It's amazing how he comes to the top no matter where he is. And it says in one place, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due time, right? And here we find in Potiphar's house, he becomes the administrator. Here in the prison, he's put in charge of all the other prisoners, and the keeper of the prison sits back and smokes his cigar, or whatever they did back then. And Joseph is put in charge of the prison and takes care of all these things. So the keeper saw Joseph's potential. He put him in the place of leadership, and the Lord was with him and blessed him and made him successful even in prison. You know, it's wonderful to know that God is able to work in prisons as well as anywhere else. Many prisoners have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ while they were incarcerated. You've heard the stories, you've read the testimonies, I'm sure. Jim Davis, our missionary at Coatesville, City Gate, takes the gospel to prisoners every week, teaches them God's word. Many leave prison to serve the Lord. Some go to City Gate and work there for a while, and then they go back out into the world to live for Christ. Some serve him in the prison itself. Those that maybe have a life sentence, they get converted, they can serve the Lord right there in the prison and teach others also. Our missionary in Greece, Peter Sirizidis, also has the prison ministry, as you know. And he's seen many lives changed, many of the prisoners, even from other countries. I know he's spoken about some of the African people that are imprisoned there that come to know the Lord and go on to serve him. And it's just wonderful to see how God can work under all circumstances. You know, it should encourage us, I think, to realize that no matter what our position is, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how badly we might feel at times, the Lord is still there, and he's able to help us through these things, through all of the that we have to go through. So here we find Joseph through all his sufferings and trials. Joseph remained faithful. He was faithful at Potiphar's house, he is faithful in the prison, faithful to his own conscience, faithful in every duty that he performed without complaining. He accepted whatever came his way and devoted himself wholeheartedly to the tasks that he was given. He believed what God had revealed to him and never lost faith that the Lord would see him through. Oh, in Psalm 105 and verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." And then verse 17, "He," that is the Lord, "sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free." We know that's coming a little later. "He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. So, we find Joseph always coming out on top because God has a plan for his life. He's working in him to carry out what he wants him to do. So just as the Lord worked in Joseph's life to fulfill this plan for him, he has a plan for each one of us. So may we learn from Joseph to face adversity and trials faithfully and fulfill God's will for our lives. He wants us to trust him, to put our faith and confidence in him, and to follow in the way that he would have us to go. So may we learn these lessons, and may it be a blessing to each one of us. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. We pray that you'll help us to have the same convictions that Joseph had and stay away from sinful activities, from things that would cause us to fall into sin. May we not make excuses, but rather stand firm and strong upon your word and do your will. We thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. And we pray that we would trust you and walk in fellowship with you and do your most holy will. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.